He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Paul Molitor Show. After a long day at the yard yesterday, Twins are back tangling with the Angels one final time as they try to snap a season-high five-game losing streak and keep their noses right in the thick of the conversation for that second wild card. Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris here in our network headquarters at Target Field, and manager Paul Molitor making an appearance here as well as the Twins again host the Angels this afternoon at 1 o'clock, looking to salvage one in this four-game series. And, Paul, good morning to you, sir, and welcome. Did you just sleep in your office last night? It didn't. Probably seems like you barely got home.
Good morning to you guys. I guess on time is tea time, right? Sorry to cut a little short. Yeah, it was, it was a long day out here yesterday. They're always longer when you don't win. And, we had a couple long nights earlier the week with rain delays and long extra inning games. So, but you just got to find a way to find your energy. I feel pretty good this morning considering after going through, a couple losses yesterday. So we're ready to go today.
Paul, I enjoyed your comments after the game the other night, last night, where you pretty much said all hope is not lost yet. And you've been a positive influence for these young players all year. I know they've gone through a tough, tough week, lost ground, finally kind of stayed yep. in the same spot for a few days, even though you were losing. And yet baseball is so different nowadays with teams such as yours that there's still hope. There's still enough time left. And if you could turn that losing streak into a winning streak, you're right back in the thick of things.
I think you have to keep that perspective. It'd be foolish to give in. You know, mm-hmm. you've played 148 games and now all of a sudden you're going to say, well, it doesn't look too good. We might as well just pack it in. You know, we've been a little fortunate that in this five-game spell, we haven't been buried. I mean, no. It could have easily just happened if game. Someone would have ran away. And it's tough for the more teams that get in front of you, even if the differential is relatively small. We're hoping we still have a little run left in us, whether it's hopefully starting today. And, you know, you go out and you find a way to, you know, win six out of seven or, you know, whatever it is. But it starts with that first one. You got to try to win a game. And today we got Duff going, and hopefully he steps up. He's been doing great. And we can find a way to beat the Angels. They've been tough on us.
And truly, you just have to win one out of one and then win one out of one again because the rest of the way – you've got the teams that are in front of you. There are two of them right now, Houston yeah. and Los Angeles. They're all playing each other. After yeah. today, it's all in the division, and those Western teams are going to be exchanging haymakers. Well, so day to day, it's still very, very much a wide open
race. Even 10 days ago, people started asking, well, you know, these guys are playing these guys when you're playing them, and someone's got to lose, and you can, you know, make your head start smoking. So, like you said, let's go try to have a good, clean game today, and hopefully we can put it in the right column.
Paul, Chris and I were talking before you showed up here this morning about pitching and the fact that you probably are in a situation unlike most teams that are in the hunt yeah. where day-to-day you might scratch your head and go, where am I going with this?
Yeah.
Is there ever enough pitching, and do you literally have to take it kind of – couple days at a time at this point?
I don't think you can ever feel too comfortable with too much pitching, Jack. You know, it is a little unusual that you're heading into your last 2 weeks and you're still trying to figure out exactly how it's going to play or who's going to be ready to pitch and those type of things. But I think that's been part of the fun for my staff and myself is trying to find right combinations offensively, pitching, you know, who's going to the bullpen. Even out of spring training, we didn't know the rotation, how it was going to shape up. So it's kind of continued. It's got settled there for a little while. So we're going to have to, you know, shuffle the deck a little bit here with that doubleheader. It kind of put a little crinkle in what we might try to do this week. So haven't finalized it. We're just going to try to go out there with Duff today. We know we got Santana coming back on Tuesday, and then we got to maybe figure out who's going to go on Wednesday.
Can you remember a situation like this where with your rotation, whether it be because of returning from injury or whether it be because of innings situations or younger arms, where there has been this much I guess, moving parts? This many moving parts in a rotation?
Well, you know, the good situation is that we need to win games late. And, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about shutting Tyler Duffy down if the games didn't mean anything.
Yeah, very
you know?
True.
So there's a lot of things that go into where you're at and where young people are in terms of their seasons and innings. And, you know, we didn't used to think about that stuff too much now. But now I think out of respect to young people and their careers, that's becomes a little bit of a factor. So yesterday, let's face it, we got two really good starts. We put up a lot of zeros early. We couldn't find a way to score. And the Angels, you know, found a way to get on the board first in both those games, and they were able to find a way to win.
Paul, it leads to another question, your point. You know, you look back at your generation, the times when you played, compared to today's game and the fact that your team would basically be not in the hunt at all at this point. And I got to believe that there's a whole different way that you would be playing the month of September with young players and getting people in. And like you say, even in today's generation, mm-hmm. resting guys that might have innings approaching where
sure.
you want them to be. Talk about that a little bit. Tell me your thoughts about what you think is the difference between now and when you played.
Well, I think that the whole, you know, the attention that we give to pitches thrown in a game, although I think we're starting to extend some people farther than we did there for a little while, the whole idea of that young players coming out of minor leagues and, you know, you try to calculate percentage of inning increase year to year. It's all escalated as far as, you know, they have injury records. They know who breaks down and when, at least to some degree. It's not a black and white formula, but you want to protect people. So I respect that. You know, you have to give the individual a little bit of consideration if he's a, how he's put together, what his makeup is, how he feels, all those type of things, as far how far you can push certain guys. But I kind of like the old days. I know when I played, Jack, I didn't worry about whether Mike Caldwell had too many innings going into the World Series. You know, get him out there. You know, so. But yeah, we've changed in that thought process a little bit.
We probably need to take a timeout. We could probably just blast right through 30 minutes like this, but we do need to take a timeout. If you've got a question for Paul, 877-388-9467, 877-38-TWINS. Take our first break. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
Hi, this is Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe, and I've been told I have the best hair in baseball. I've also been told that I know the best sausage and bratwurst in baseball, Sheboygan sausage. Only Sheboygan bratwurst and sausage is handcrafted the old-fashioned way, in small batches, using fresh, high-quality ingredients. Enjoy Sheboygan sausage at Target Field and at home. Sheboygan stadium-quality bratwurst and sausages are available at grocery retailers everywhere. Come on, guys.
The way it tastes is simply divine. I got Sheboygan on my mind. Sheboygan.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
Baseball season is finally here, and now is the time to check out DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with injured players or poor performers. Just pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can win huge cash prizes. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code MNTWINS to play for free. That's MNTWINS at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins.
We bought a house.
We found the one.
Here to stay.
Permanent.
Rooted.
Residence.
Relocated. I've been relocated.
In a short-term world, trust your home mortgage to a long-term bank. U.S. Bank offers the rates and products that fit your life. Visit a branch, usbank.com/mortgage, or call 855-434-HOME to talk to an experienced mortgage loan originator today. Mortgage loans subject to credit approval. Interest rates and program terms are subject to change. Deposit and mortgage products are offered by U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, and Paul Molitor. Coach, as it would say on your coffee cup today.
A little special love there from the Starbucks out there on 50th.
Yeah, they, They were ready for today. Big day of baseball for you guys. And today, you mentioned Tyler Duffy, so let's stay on that vein. This young man, you mentioned when you talk about how people are put together, both mentally in terms of how he's put together and physically, how he takes care of himself and how he's put together. He's a guy that just continues to impress.
Well, he's been a nice injection into our rotation, even though we've had to kind of spread him out a little bit as of late. You know, I follow his lead somewhat. I follow Terry's lead in terms of him knowing him better than I do in terms of, you know, just qualities that he possesses. And he's, you know, Tyler's very reassuring to us in terms of how he feels. I think that he would be pretty transparent if there's something going on in terms of fatigue and those type of things. So he's a big, strong kid, and I think these little extra days rest that he's got along the way here the last few weeks are helping him. And, yeah, we'll see what he has today. Most of his starts have been really, really solid. We know a lot of it hinges on his ability to command that breaking pitch, which he uses extensively. But I think he's good to go today.
Paul, I got to switch subjects again because Chris and I had such a fun time talking about it. We actually were doing research looking at background. But the subject matter is strikeouts in today's game, basically guys swinging differently with two strikes and a generation or two behind us. And now in today's generation, strikeouts are just another out and the ramifications of that. We were looking at some of the great hitters of your generation, and 100 strikeouts was almost – a freak. I mean, guys that were in, and are in the Hall of Fame averaged between 65 and 80 strikeouts a year, and yet today it seems like, well, your team has got six guys that are probably going to strike out more than 100 times in one season. And I'm just curious to your thoughts about how that changed, why it changed, and do you buy into it?
I don't totally buy into it. It kind of strikes a nerve with me when I get people that say the pitching is that much better and, you know, you just have to accept the fact that strikeouts are going to be a bigger part of the game. Now, you know, we saw people along the way, Jack, in our generation, for Twins fans, you had Disco Danny Ford and Bobby Darwin and people that would strike out. And Harmon, you know, had his fair share. But generally, Rob Deere in Milwaukee, you know, some of those type of people. But, you know, for the most part, the guys that struck out over 100 times back 20, 30, 40 years ago, the return on it was extensive. You know, you'd get the power numbers and the run production. In today's game, it's far too frequent. I think we've lost a little bit of our, you know, our fight in the two-strike scenarios where guys just say, well, if I strike out, I strike out. They don't really cut down their swings. They don't choke up. They don't try to put the ball in play. And I don't like the fact that we accept that a little bit too readily. You know, Mike Trout is a tremendous player. We know he might be the best player in the game. And yet he strikes out 180 times a year, which back 30 years ago would have, you know, people really would have popped their eyes at that. So, but he returns it with, you know, 40 home runs and 100 RBIs and all the other things that he does. And he defense and base stealing, and we talked about it in spring training, and we really haven't improved as much as I would like to see as a team. If you got any kind of speed at all and you have situations, you know, putting the ball in play is important, and I think it's something that we continue to need to try to get better at. But I don't accept it. I know pitching generally can be better, deeper rotations, better bullpens, you know, 7, 8, 9 inning guys, all those type of things. But to me, there's a way to try to put the ball in play.
As a guy who values 90 feet so much, and that's been one of the main planks on your platform from day one, every 90 feet is important, and you never know which 90 feet could win you a ball game. Is a strikeout really the same as an out with the ball in play when you think about the fact that on a strikeout, if there's somebody on base, they're not advancing 90
well,
feet?
Well, I think that's, you know, follows pretty sound logic. It's not always going to be 90 feet, but you eliminate a possibility of 90 feet if you strike out. Right. You know, the counteracting will say, well, it's better than hitting to double play and some of those other kind of things. But, you know, you strike out 150 times a year and you know, you're a 230, 240 hitter. You know, you put another 30, 40 balls in play even. You know, you might get a chance to bump the average, to improve your team's ability and chances and opportunities to score runs.
Yeah, some great broader view thoughts on the game there from Paul Molitor. It's the Paul Molitor Show. We're running long. We'll take another break. We'll come back, talk about today's ball game in detail when we return on your home for Twins baseball.
Well, I stood stone like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade.
Kids grow out of calling mom mommy. They grow out of sleeping with a blankie. They grow out of eating stuff off the floor. They grow out of race car shaped beds. They grow out of having invisible friends, hopefully. But a kid never grows out of baseball. They grow old with it. The joy, the lessons, and the memories stick with them like pine tar. Give your kid the lifelong gift of baseball. Learn more at twinscommunityfund.org. The Twins Community Fund. Getting more kids in the game. The Minnesota Twins Community Fund is supported by Minnesota Twins Cornerstone Partners, Target, U.S. Bank, Treasure Island Resort and Casino, and Delta Airlines. We thank them for supporting youth baseball and softball throughout the Upper Midwest and for getting more kids in the game.
Welcome back to The Catch Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabbyish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Plan your next big event at Target Field. With many unique spaces around the park, there's a perfect fit for your event. Contact a sales representative to start planning today. Get more information at twinsbaseball.com.
It's the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, and Paul Molitor. Twins take on the Angels today. The homestand continues. 2.5 back in the wild card. And you win one of one, you're right back there on the cusp of it. Let's talk about your lineup, because yesterday, though they end up going the way of the Angels, two highly competitive baseball games, especially early. If you're in your seat, you're not moving. I mean, we didn't have a run in the first five innings of either game, some bang-bang plays, some big moments. And today we'd expect maybe more of the same, but you're going to run out a little different look offensively today.
Well, we're going to change a little bit. It's hard to not play your regulars, if you will, here with the few amount of remaining games that we have. You know, I'm going to put Nunez back in at shortstop today and flip Escobar over to second base. You know, Brian, I think, you know, he's been a really good warrior for us. I think he's on pace to play anywhere from 158, 159 games. But today I'm going to let him sit back and watch a little bit and try to recharge him for what I still think are going to be a couple of very important weeks. And, you know, Rosario is going to bump up to the two hole today, and I'm going to lead off Aaron Hicks. I got Joe hitting third, Sano, Plouffe, Torres going to be back in there even after a doubleheader yesterday. Suzuki's going to catch. So, yeah, it's a little different look. The big change for the people watching would be that Brian's not going to be in the starting lineup today.
Paul, when we look back at the week that was, you look at Detroit series and you play a 12-inning game that you got to be proud of in some ways. Your team's still in it. You're still grinding. And yet you lose a tough mm-hmm. game. And then it happens in a few days later, the same scenario, another 12-inning game that you happen to come up on the short side. And talk a little bit about what that does to your team, especially a young team this time of year. You know, I still believe, and we saw one of your coaches, Joe Vavra, when we were walking in, and he was positive about the fact that the game is so crazy that, you know, you lose five in a row, and yet you can still maybe turn around, win five in a row, and be right back in the hunt, and it could actually snowball and propel your sure. team into the postseason because of the late run that rallies your team.
Well, you know, there's a lot of responses to that. You know, those games that we've lost this week that we've had a chance to win, you know, when you're at home and you're getting that final at bat, you know, ninth inning, 10th inning, 11th inning, 12th inning, you hope you can find a way to push one across. We've had that opportunity a couple of times this week. Hasn't happened, you know, and as far as being able to put together a run, I think just getting a win today would, you know, lighten the burden significantly, especially with an off day tomorrow. And so you just got to try to find a way. Like you said, we're fortunate where we are, and considering that we've lost five games in a row here in mid to late September and still have an opportunity to try to get some things done that we want to accomplish collectively as a team.
Take our last break. When we come back, a couple of new arms back in your bullpen yesterday and looked very sharp in game one. We'll talk about that and look ahead to today when we return for our final segment on the Paul Molitor Show. This is your home for Twins baseball.
One iced caramel mocha.
Coming right up.
Ice, got it. Always a good choice. With caramel, that's an iced caramel mocha. Check. Real espresso, fresh milk, rich chocolate, caramel.
Aren't you from that fancy coffee house?
I like to save too.
Grab a Karuba Gold iced coffee for only $1.99. And be sure to check out the new varieties of our genuine espresso drinks only at Quick Trip.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. From our value-priced comfort series to our top-performing Infinity system, at Carrier, we've made excellence more affordable than ever. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort? Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the final segment of the Paul Molitor Show, and Paul Molitor and the Twins tangling with the Angels one final time. And before we get too deep into the Angels again, you got Glenn Perkins back. Trevor May pitched briefly as well, but Glenn Perkins in particular, just the second time you've been able to run him out there since September. How did his body react to his outing, and where are we with Glenn?
Well, it was good to see him on the mound. You know, we got him in there in that first game yesterday. I only had him face one hitter. It was an out that we needed to get, and he did his job. It was really nice to see. In fact, he felt good enough to be available in that second game if we needed him. Unfortunately, we didn't get in a situation to bring him in. You know, we're monitoring some people today to see who might be available. You know, Trevor coming off a little bit of a hip issue, and after pitching yesterday, I'm hoping he's fine today. Jepson will be fine today. But, yeah, it's nice to see those guys out there, especially Glenn, because that's another power arm that you have with experience at the back end of a ball game.
Yeah, Jepson, a little rubber arm, too. I mean, he goes two solid, efficient innings for you. He has been invaluable since coming over from Tampa Bay.
Well, you know, we had that one hiccup this week against the Tigers. But, you know, with Glenn's situation this month, he's been a real positive addition. You know, we have to give credit to our front office for making a really nice pickup that's been a very valuable part of our bullpen here in September.
Paul, you know, I guess we can talk pitching forever and ever. The fact is you're in a position right now to be shuffling people around, not just in your rotation, but in the bullpen. I can't help but ask the question, how has it changed and why has it changed that a generation or so ago, it was common to see three starters have 240 plus innings every year for a generation. And yet today, guys seem to be breaking down and have a tougher time getting through a whole summer without injury. Can you pinpoint, or is there an answer to that, or is it just because we're seeing more max effort type of guys?
Well, you know, the innings question, one of the easier components of that is that there were used to be four-man rotations, and your innings would climb a lot higher. And somehow guys seem to be able to respond and pitch in that scenario is getting 40 starts instead of 30 to 35. And you would think that it would cut down on injuries, but it really hasn't. Now, I don't know if we have a coddle mentality in developing people instead of trying to maybe create a mindset of, you know, whether it's complete games or deeper games or more innings or more pitches. But I think there's been a little bit of trend of people trying to reverse that. I think that there are a lot of people in this game that think that we're not maximizing what we get out of people. But injuries are injuries. When they happen, you got to take a step back. But I don't have an answer to that. It sure would be nice if you could find guys that were a little bit more durable in terms of being able to count them for those amount of innings over a given season.
Paul, it's your last game out of the division today against the Angels. And Mike Socha, who you matched with wits with the last several days, one of the best in the game, one of the most respected managers. He's got 37 guys, and they're not just clogging a dugout. It's like he has a plan for how to use every single one of those guys. you're almost wrapping up your first full year as a manager. I know you've admired Mike for a lot of years, but when you talk about guys who understand how to maximize every piece of their puzzle, he's got to be near the top of most lists.
Well, I'm the first to tell you that I have had a significant learning curve this year for throughout the regular season. September baseball different, you know, trying to counteract 37 people on the other time on the other side of the field is challenging. And Mike definitely knows how to use his people. He has specific guys for specific roles, and there's a lot of interchanging parts throughout the course of a game. Our situation is a little different. We've tried to use people in the right places. I always think back when a game's over of other moves I could have made. I mean, yesterday in the first game, I thought about running for Plouffe when he got on, and then when he got to third base, I thought about running for him. It was the seventh inning. Turns out that we get a bunt play where we're out by about, you know, 10 inches, and you kind of kick yourself a little bit. So, but Mike does a great job over there. I do have a lot of respect. I'm kind of tired of looking at him over there right now. he's kind of taking it to us. Last year they dominated us, and so far this year we've only got one win against them. But hopefully we can make it two today.
Quickly, you were quoted after the game saying the Angels might have experience working for them on their side and just the opposite for your young team this year. This type of grind in September, they got to be learning something, Paul. Your team, even though they're young,
sure,
going through this for the first time, it's got to be an experience that's going to be positive.
I'm not sure if I'm happy I said that or not, because I don't like to make excuses.
I don't think anybody took it that way.
I was kind of, you know, just looking at it, how it works. One thing we've talked a lot about here down the stretch is that it is a different feel. And, you know, people do have to go through things to learn. You can talk about them. You can prepare people. And there's something about being out there and playing in these kind of games that only doing it is what's going to make you better in the long run. I think we responded fairly well to the pressures. This is the first extended losing period we've had here late in the season for a long time that has meant something. So I just hope that these guys find a way to respond here over the last couple of weeks. I'm not losing hope. Still have a lot of confidence in our guys. It's been a great group to manage, and I still think we're gonna make it interesting here over the next 14 games.
And no question, it'll be interesting today, and your guys will be ready to play. Paul, we appreciate it as always. Always great insight.
All right, have a great Sunday,
thanks,
guys.
All right. That's Paul Molitor. Paul Molitor joins us here on the Paul Molitor Show every Sunday. If you missed any part of the show, you can find it online at twinsbaseball.com. Paul and his Twins tangle with the Angels coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. Just after noon, it's Inside Twins, 12:30, your pregame lineup card, first pitch, coming up just after 1 o'clock. For Paul Molitor and Jack Morris, I'm Chris Atterbury, saying so long.
Of a Treasure Island Baseball Network.